Leo Weber, 2102 14th Street South, Moorhead, Minnesota.
And Mr. Weber, where were you born?
I was born at Rockville, Minnesota, to George and Anna Kurt Weber.
And what did they do for a living?
My folks farmed. And when I was 3 years old, we moved up to Ada, Minnesota. And I went to school, the country school there. And I worked on a farm for a number of years before I went in the service. And I went in the service in March 1941.
Did you graduate from high school?
No. No, I did not. And I went, done my basic service at Cheyenne, Wyoming, and joined a medical hospital.
Now, what branch of the service were you in?
Medical. Army.
Army,
yeah.
And did you elect to go in on your own, or were you?
No, I was drafted, yes.
Drafted. And what year was that again?
1941, March 1941.
Okay. And you went to Wyoming for your training?
Yes.
How long did you train?
Well, we were there for about a year, a little over a year. I was drafted for the 1 year service at that time. Of course, when the war broke out, then we were automatically in for the duration of the war. Mm-hmm. And in 1942, in August, we went overseas. We landed in England, and we were there for number of months, and then we went to invasion of North Africa on August or November 8th, 1942. And then we went through the campaign of North Africa, and then we made it Sicily. And when we got done there, we went back to England in 1943 in August or October, yeah. And we stayed there until invasion of France, and that was in 1944 of June, yeah.
44.
Yeah. And that war in France and Europe lasted a little over a year. And when that was over, we proceeded to come home. And I went back to the Ada again, and then I started farming at Borp, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Now you were trained as a medic, is
yes.
that correct?
Yes.
And so can you tell us about some of the experiences as a medic?
Yeah, I was trained as a medic. I worked in surgery. We had a field hospital. We set up in tents. We had about 45 doctors and some nurses and 300 enlisted men. But I worked in surgery all the time, assisted the doctors on surgery. When one of the cases that we had, I can remember, was a man come in with a big anti-tank shell and sticking out of his side. They cleared the surgery room except myself and his chief of surgeon and anesthetist, and we took out that shell, but it wasn't exploded, but we felt fairly safe that it wouldn't explode because we handled it carefully. And in another case where we'd done a triple amputation and some more work in this the guy's stomach. I don't know if he lived because we never could keep track of him after he left the surgery. So,
where did they go after surgery was done?
Well, after surgery, they as soon as they're able to travel, they went back farther to a bigger hospital and got some more medical treatments.
Now, were you close to the front lines?
Yes.
Then, where you were doing the surgery?
Yes, we was quite close to the front lines. We were the first unit of doing surgery to the troops.
Going back to that first surgery that you assisted with, what was that like? Can you remember?
Well, by the time we'd done that surgery, first surgery, you know, you get so hardened in that it doesn't bother you. But, you know, but when I first started, I couldn't even watch it, you know. And then after a while, you get toughened in, so, yeah.
So you were a medic the whole time
yes.
that you were in?
Yes, yes.
Beginning in North Africa,
yeah.
and then back into England and France?
Yes.
Any other stories come to mind when you think back about the surgeries, the people that you saw coming off the battles from the front line?
Yeah, well, I could really feel sorry for those people because I knew what they went through and saw the results of the war, you know, where a lot of people don't see that. But, let's see.
Can you recall any of the people that you worked with during those times?
Oh. Yes, that I worked with. Yes, we got to be a close knit family because we were together almost 5 years. Mm-hmm. See, and after the war, we had reunions, and it was so nice to see these people, and I still miss them, after all this time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you said there were 45 doctors.
Yeah, and probably 20 some nurses and about 300 enlisted men.
That assisted like you did?
Well, they didn't. They done other work. See, there was, in surgery, we had 6 operating tables, see. And I suppose about 25 people worked there. And we were operated 24 hours a day when there was a lot of casualties, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you would all be woken up at any hour if there was a casualty that came in?
Well, no, you had your shifts, see.
Oh, okay.
Shifts, and when it was a lot of casualties, it was just real busy, and, mm-hmm. and as the fighting slowed down, then was less casualties, and it wasn't near as busy. So. I know, there's doctors that work 24 hours or more at a time straight doing surgery. I don't know how they could do it, but.
What were your accommodations? You know, were you in a type of a barracks or?
No, we always, our hospital was in tents, a 400 bed hospital.
Oh.
It was all
tents.
In tents.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived in tents all the while. And of the 3.5 years that I was over in the war, I at least 2.5 of the year, over those years, I slept on the ground. We all slept on the ground except the nurses and officers. Mm-hmm.
There were no cots?
No cots. Except, and like when we were in Africa, it was in the wintertime there, and it was a little cool at night. You'd wake up in the morning, and you'd have these little lizards about 6 inches long or 8 inches long laying alongside of you under the blankets because they were looking for heat.
That must have been unnerving the first
yes.
time.
Yes. But I guess you get used to anything.
What about like mosquitoes and, you know?
Yes, there was mosquitoes in Africa because everybody got malaria.
Oh.
Yeah. So we were all the whole unit was sick with malaria almost the same time. So.
And how were you treated for that?
We took shots for it and medications.
How long did it take to clear the malaria up?
Well, I suppose, I'm not sure, a few weeks, probably a month, I'm not sure.
You know, just the cleanliness of, you know, doing surgery when you're in a tent like
yeah,
that.
I know.
What's that like? What was that like?
Well, we tried to be as sterile with everything as possible, you know, but you know, sometimes you couldn't. Mm-hmm. You could just do the best that was available, you know. It's.
What about the water supply? Do you have water brought in then?
No, we had someone that took care of that. They, whenever we set up, they'd go and look for a slough or something to get water, and then they'd it sterilize it, you know, with chemicals. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's fit to drink.
Kind of like a chlorine.
Yeah, try to get the bugs out first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure everybody else was that way that was in the war, too.
Yeah. So you said that you were like a close-knit family with the people that you
yes.
worked with. And you said that you attended reunions?
Yes.
Do you still
talk to any of them? No, there isn't. Most of them would be in their 80s now, mm-hmm. and so I'm sure there's very few living anymore, see. Yeah, so.
When was the last reunion that you went to?
It was in Minneapolis. It's about 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We had it different places. We had it twice in Las Vegas and Chicago and Austin, Minnesota, and Pipestone. And they had a few in Kentucky that I didn't get to.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always a joyous time to see those friends and comrades.
Sure. Did you receive any awards while you were in?
No.
What was it like the day that you found out you were done, that you were all ready to go home? Do you recall that day?
Well, everybody felt pretty good, but I think a lot of us just laid down and rested. Mm-hmm. We were still, you know, all in.
You were exhausted.
Yeah.
Were you in France at the time that you found out the war was over and you were able to go home?
We're up at Czechoslovakia. That's about where the war ended, you know.
Okay.
We're up in Czechoslovakia. Yeah, so we went practically all across Europe, you know, during the war.
What was Czechoslovakia like?
Well, I don't know. It's how to explain it. Those countries been in war. Were in war for a number of years, you know, and things weren't very good over there.
How were you treated when you were in countries like Czechoslovakia? How did the local people?
Well, we didn't have much contact with the local people. See, very little. So.
Do you have any stories that come to mind that you'd like to share? Anything stand out more so than anything else about those 4 years, 5 years?
No, I don't know if anything really.
You said that a lot of the surgeries that you assisted with, you didn't know the outcome after they left?
No, because they as soon as they were able to travel or be moved, they sent back to a larger hospital, see.
And there was no ever reporting back?
We handled so many of them. I was just reading it. I got a history of the unit here. And some days, the hospital is full, 400 or more, you know, even. And received a lot of times 300 a day, you know. But we didn't do surgery on all of them, but, you know, at least we received them for first transportation, you know, to go further back.
In your tent hospital, were you pretty safe from any bombings or any?
Well, relatively safe.
Ambushes?
Relatively safe. But the Germans had what they call these buzz bombs. But it was kind of a bomb that with a motor in it, and they'd put in so much fuel, and then when the fuel ran out, that's when it was supposed to go down. See, and when we were in Belgium, there's a large ammunition depot farther back in France, and they was trying to hit that. So we had those buzz bombs go over night and day. And once in a while you hear that motor quit, and then you really got a little worried, see, because it would come down and see.
It would explode?
Yeah. Yeah. See, that was, they were unmanned bombs, you know. Yeah. So I guess there's a certain amount of danger, you know. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like the troops in the front line, but, mm-hmm. yeah.
Did you know anybody in the front lines?
No, not really. I knew there was some people in the service from back home, but I didn't know where they were, see, so, yeah. And there was a bunch of Minnesota boys with us in the service, but there were, a lot of them were from southern Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. So you knew they were fellow Minnesotans, but you didn't really know them?
No.
Do you have any final thoughts about what you went through serving your country?
Well, I would say it's a great experience, but I wouldn't want to go through it again, you know. I'm not sorry that I did it.
How did the war affect your life?
Well, I don't know. I think it made me a better person. Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Mr. Weber, what do you think about the war that we're fighting now in Afghanistan, the war on terror?
Well, I think it has to be done, you know, because eventually if you don't stop all that, they're going to be in this country. Mm. You know, we've been lucky over the years that we haven't had any war in this country since the Civil War, you know, mm-hmm. until just recently. Mm-hmm. So we've been fortunate that way.
Did you ever think that you would see terrorism on our own soil, like we saw last September 11th?
No, nothing like that. Nothing like that. That's about as bad as it could be.
Mr. Weber, how would you like to be remembered?
It's kind of hard to explain. Well, I guess it's just that I serve my country and I'm glad I had the opportunity to do it. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I lived through it, you know, without any major problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Mr. Weber.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I've done a very good job or not, but.
Oh, yes, you did. Thank you.